For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. It's July the 9th. We are in Shmuel Beis. We're in Perek Gimel, chapter 3. And we are up to Pasuk Chaf Beis, verse 22. So Avner has now essentially changed sides. We talked about last week why he changed sides. And he is now promoting David. And he has left David. David has sent him away in peace. He's gone to go and bring everybody over to the side of David to make sure that David should be the recognized single king of all of the Jewish people. But we also know that Avner has blood on his hands with Asoel, with Yoav's brother Asoel, where he was acting in self-defense, but it's questionable whether it was complete self-defense or whether there was some degree of intent in having killed Asoel. It has been unresolved, but Yoav believes that Avner acted with intent. So he does not believe that Avner should be let go free. So Pasuk Chaf Beis, verse 22, V'hinei Avdei David v'Yoav ba mehagedud, the servant of David and Yoav came from the Gedud. Gedud means the plunder. They had been having like border skirmishes with some of the enemies of the Jewish people. V'shalal Rav Imam Heviu, they brought a lot of spoils with them. V'Avner einenu im David b'Chevron, Avner was no longer with David in Chevron. Kishulcho v'yelech b'shalom, because David had sent him away and he went away in peace. V'Yoav b'chol hatzava asher ito ba'u Yoav, and all of the army that was with him came. V'yagidu liyoav lemor, the people said to Yoav, saying, Ba Avner ben Ner el ha-melech, Avner ben Ner came to the king, v'yishalachehu, and the king sent him away, v'yelech b'shalom, and he went in peace. V'yavo Yoav el ha-melech, Yoav came to the king, v'yomer, and he said, Me'asisa, what did you do? Hine va'avner elecha, Avner came to you, Lama zeshi lachta, why did you send him away? Vayelech halokha, and he just went. Yodata es Avner ben Ner, you knew Avner ben Ner, ki lefatoska ba, that he came to entice you, to trick you,
deceive
you, right? Vladas es motzaacha ves mova'echa, and to know your goings out, your goings in, meaning your what you do in the kingdom. Vladat es kola sher ato osen, to know everything that you're doing. He came to find your weak points. He came to find you how vulnerable you are. So it's dangerous. Why did you give Avner free pass and then he just left? Vayetze Yoav mi'im David. Yoav left from David. Vayishlach malachim achare Avner. He sent messengers after Avner. Vayashivu osomi bor hasira. They brought him back from bor hasira, which is a place. But we will talk about presently what those two words are referring to. Bor means a pit, and sira means thorns. We'll talk about why those two words in a few moments. The David lo yada, David did not know that Yoav sent for Avner. Yoav did this without telling David. Vayashav Avner Chevron, Avner returned to Chevron. Vayatehu Yoav el toch hashar, Yoav, he turned him into towards the gate. He got him to go into towards the gate. L'daber ito b'sheli, to speak to him quietly, like privately. Vayakehu sham hachomesh, and Yoav struck Avner there in the fifth rib. Vayamas, and he died. He killed Avner. Bidam asoel achiv, for the blood of Asoel, his brother. So here Yoav carries out the punishment against Avner for having killed Asoel, his brother. Vayishma David me'acharei chen, David heard afterwards. Vayomer, and he said, Noki anochi umamlachti, Me'im Hashem ad Olam. I and my kingdom is clean. We are clean from in front of Hashem forever. Midmei Avner Bener, from the blood of Avner Bener, which means I had nothing to do with this. Yachulu Arosh Yoav, they should fall on the head of Yoav. Ve'al Kol Beis Aviv, and all the house of Yoav's father, meaning the culpability for this murder. Ve'al Yikares Mi Beis Yoav, and it should not be cut off from the house of Yoav, meaning Yoav should have all of the following in his household. Zav. Zav is a sickly person who has a discharge is running from his body because he's sick. Umitzora, and someone who has tsara'as. Umachzik bapelach, and someone who has to walk with a cane, meaning a young man who needs to walk with a cane, who can't walk. V'nofel bacherev, and someone who falls by the sword, who gets killed in battle. V'chatzar lochem, and someone who lacks bread, someone who is poor and has no bread. So he gives Yoav's house a curse that Yoav should have in his descendants these five calamities. That a sickly person who is a Zav, a Metzora, someone who has Saras, someone who has to walk with a cane at a young age, and someone who falls in war, and someone who lacks bread. Five different punishments. Now we will see later, it's going to take a while till we get there, but eventually what's going to happen is that due to other circumstances, these five curses will actually boomerang and end up on David's family, not on Yoav's family. And therefore, David will have five descendants who are going to be kings. David's descendants are the kings, but there will be five different kings, one of whom will be a Zav, one will have Tsaras, one will have to walk with a cane, one will fall in battle, and one will lack bread. And we'll see later where each of these five curses ends up in David's family. But that's not for now. That's going to be a while till we get there. V'yoav v'avishai achiv, Yoav and Avishai, his brother, hargula Avner, they killed Avner. Al asher hemis es asal achim, because he killed Asal, their brother, b'givon, in Givon, b'milchama, in the war. V'yomer David el Yoav v'el kol ha'am asher ito. David said to Yoav and to all the nation that was with him, kiru v'gdechem, tear your clothing, v'chigru stakim, and wear sackcloth. V'siftu, and you should eulogize lifnei Avner, before Avner. V'amelech David holech acharei hamita, and the king David went after the coffin. He followed the coffin to its burial place. V'yikberu es Avner v'chevron, they buried Avner in Chevron. V'yisa amelech es kolo, the king lifted up his voice. V'yifk, and he cried el kever Avner, to the grave of Avner. V'yivku kol ha'am, and the whole nation cried. V'yikonen amelech el Avner v'yomar, and the king said a eulogy about Avner, and he said, he lamented about Avner, and he said, Hakemos Novel Yamus Avner, should Avner die as Novel would die, which means as a person who is a sinner, like an evil person, Avner should be killed as if he was an evil person. Yadecha lo asuros, your hands were not bound. Vraglecha lo linchush tayim hugashu, and your feet were not placed in chains. Meaning that had you been a great warrior like you, to be killed should have been impossible unless your hands were tied and your feet were in chains. But they weren't. And yet, kinfol lifnei b'nei avlan afalto, you fell before those who are sinners themselves. Meaning you should not have been killed, you were killed for no reason. Vayusifu chola'am lifkos alav, all the nation continued to cry over the loss of Avner. Vayavo chol ha'am lahavros es David lechem ba'od hayom, and the whole nation came to give David bread while it was still daytime. This is the Sudas Havara. We know that when a person loses a relative, God forbid, then the first meal they have when they return from the burial is called the Sudas Havara. That's the first meal that is served, and there are certain halachos, there are certain laws pertaining to that meal. Here, the nation wanted to feed David a Sudas Havara as if he were a relative for the loss of Avner. By Yishaba David Lamar, David swore, saying, Koyas Ali Elokim Echol Yosef, so Hashem should do to me, and so he should continue, meaning I should be punished if I would eat this food. Kim Lifnevo Hashemesh et Hamlechem, if I will eat before the sun sets, if I will eat bread, O Chom Umo, or anything else, which means I'm not going to eat anything until the day ends, which means he accepted upon himself a fast day that Avner was buried. V'chol ha'am hikiru, all the nation recognized, v'yitav be'enem, it was good in their eyes, Kachol Asher Asa HaMelech, everything the king did, Be'enei Chol Ha'am Tov, in the eyes of all the nation good. Which means that they recognized that he was not the one who had authorized the killing of Avner. Vayedu Chol Ha'am V'chol Yisrael Bayom Ahu, all the nation and all the Jews knew on that day, Ki Lo Haisa Me HaMelech Lohamis Es Avner Ben Ner, that it was not from the king to kill Avner Ben Ner. Vayomer HaMelech HaLavadav, the king said to his servants, Halo Seidu, you should know, Ki Sar V'Godal Nafal Hayom Azeh B'Yisrael, that a great and a leader and a great person has fallen today from the Jewish people. I am weak and anointed as king, which means I am very freshly made king. I'm a brand new king. And these men, the sons of Tsruya, many, they are stronger than me. Meaning that here it's my, I'm just became king over all the Jewish people. This is not a very good start for my kingdom. It's not a very good place to begin. And these sons of Tsruya, they are stronger than me. They have put me in a very bad place. Yishalem Hashem la'osei hara'a kira'a. So Hashem should pay those who do evil according to their evil. So they should be punished for what they did.
Now, need
yeah, we'll go through it now. Now, the saga of Avner and Yoav is a complex saga. We've talked about this already twice. And here, Avner is killed, so this is the end of the story of Avner. Yoav goes on. The first thing you have to know about both Avner and Yoav, and we said this before, but we're going to emphasize it again, because you have to know it in order to understand what is going on here properly, is that both Avner and Yoav were great people. They were great tzaddikim. They were great pious people. They were also great talmidei chachamim. They were also great sages, as well as great warriors. And the two of them were not involved in some sort of squabble. They were dealing here with the question of what does the Torah say? Does the Torah say that what Avner did was good in killing our soil? Or does the Torah say what Avner did was bad in killing our soil? And then you have the dispute between Yoav and David. Yoav kills Avner. David holds that Yoav was wrong. Again, over there, it is a halachic dispute. Did Yoav do the right thing or the wrong thing in putting Avner to death? Yoav believes that putting Avner to death was warranted by the Torah. David believes it was the wrong thing to do. The background, which we talked about before, but we're going to say it again just so we have it fresh in our minds. And we have several pieces over here which we have to keep in mind. Avner killed Asael. Now we read the story of Avner killing Asael. Asael ran after Avner. Asael was very fast, caught up with Avner. Avner warned him several times to not attack him because Avner knew that if Asael would attack him, Avner would kill him. Avner being the stronger and the more powerful warrior, and Asael did not listen to Avner's warnings. So he's done. And Avner killed Asael with the back of the sword. He didn't hit him with the front of the sword, he hit him with the back of the sword, but it was strong enough to kill him. He hit him in the fifth rib and killed him. He hit him so hard that the back of the sword actually penetrated Asael's body, went into his body, which means he must have hit him very, very hard. The question was, did Avner act in self-defense or not? When it says in Pasuk Chav Zayin, in verse 27, that Avner came back and Yoav directed him or turned him into the gate. The gate is another word throughout the Chumash and again in the Navi for the Sanhedrin. That Yoav took Avner to Sanhedrin. Yoav was the Av Bezdin. He was the head of the Sanhedrin, and because he was of the greatest Talmidei Chachamim of his day, one of the greatest Torah sages of his day. And he turned Avner there and put him on trial for the murder of Asael. This wasn't just a conversation. He actually put him on trial. The trial, the Gemara tells us, went as follows. That Yoav said to Asael, said to Avner, why did you kill Asael? Avner said, I acted in self-defense. So Yoav said that you could have killed him if you just needed to act in self-defense. You didn't need to kill Asael. You could have wounded Asael. You should have stabbed him in the leg or something in order to stop him from attacking you. That would have defended you, which I understand you do deserve self-defense, but you didn't have to kill him. The response of Avner was, I couldn't do that because he was attacking me and there was no time to think, and the only thing I could do was hit him. And that killed him. I didn't have the option of trying to only wound him, which is a valid complaint, a valid point that a person can say that, yes, I could have theoretically shot him in the leg, but I didn't have time to think. The person was attacking me. So Yoav's response was, that would make sense if you hit him indiscriminately, but you hit him exactly in the fifth rib, which is the most vulnerable place on a person to kill him. Other than the neck, it is a very, very vulnerable place. You hit him exactly in the spot where he would die. And therefore, it is hard to believe, if you were able to be so specific about where you hit him, it's hard to believe that you couldn't have hit him in a way that wouldn't have killed him but only wounded him. Therefore, Yoav believed that Avner was now a murderer and needed to be put to death. Now, The question, though, is that you still can't put someone to death without witnesses, without warning. You can't just put them to death. But Yoav is also a Goel Hadam. He's also the relative who can put the person who murdered his brother to death. That we know the Torah allows for a person who was put to death, who was killed, even if it was accidental death, but it wasn't an act of God. It was negligence, then if a person kills someone in a negligent manner, the relatives could put that person to death if he does not run to an Ir Miklat, to a city of refuge. Here, Yoav believes that Avner killed his brother on purpose, and therefore he deserves to be killed. And even though we couldn't put him to death in a regular court of law because we don't have the proper procedure to do it, but Yoav could still do it because Yoav was his brother. And therefore, Yoav kills Avner. Now, we're going to talk about how he killed him in a moment, because it's not so simple. Avner is a very powerful person, even though Yoav is also a very powerful person, but it should have been a very, very difficult struggle for Yoav to try to kill Avner. It wouldn't have been so simple. So we'll talk about that in a few moments. But Yoav believes that Avner deserves to be killed. Now, did Avner deserve to be killed or not? This was an open question. And later on, when Yoav reaches the end of his life, he's going to be put on trial for having killed Avner. And they're going to have the same conversation. The Sanhedrin is going to say to Yoav, why did you kill Avner? And he's going to say, because he killed my brother. And I was a Goel Hadam. I was the relative who is licensed to kill the person who killed my brother. They're going to say to him, he was acting in self-defense. Yoav is going to say back, no, he wasn't. He could have wounded my brother if he was acting in self-defense. They're going to say back to Yoav, if he didn't have time to think, he was being attacked. How could he have just wounded your brother? And Yoav will say back, if that were true, then how come he was able to hit him so specifically on the fifth rib? And therefore, the Sanhedrin is going to let Yoav off the hook for having killed Avner, which means it's going to be inconclusive at the end of the day whether Avner deserved to be killed by Yoav or Avner didn't deserve to be killed by Yoav. The Sanhedrin is not going to decide that Yoav was wrong for killing Avner, and because it's a question, it's not clear, it's a suffix, it's a matter of doubt. Yoav is going to do other things for which the Sanhedrin is going to take him to task later in his life, but for this particular incident, it's going to end up being a suffix, a doubt. So we end up with a doubt that is never resolved. It's a doubt whether Avner was a murderer who deserved to be killed by Yoav, or whether Avner was acting in self-defense, in which case Yoav should not have killed him. When we have a doubt in a halacha, normally we say, especially in a capital crime or murder case, we say, shave ve'al taseh, don't do anything. Don't act. If you don't know, then don't act. Yoav acted despite the fact that there was a doubt. Once he acted, the Sanhedrin couldn't put Yoav to death, for the same reason, because maybe Yoav was right. We don't know. So we end up with an unresolved situation here. Was it correct? Was it wrong for Avner to kill Asael, in which case it was correct for Yoav to kill Avner? Or was it correct for Avner to kill Asael, in which case it was wrong for Yoav to kill Avner? So we don't know. Who knows? Hashem knows. We don't know. We don't know the answer. But it was a subtle point. Whatever it is, we have two great Talmidei Chachamim, Avner and Yoav, dealing with a subtle point. Now, I have to emphasize to you, when Avner claimed that he was acting in self-defense, and Yoav says, then how could you have hit him in such a specific way? It wasn't that one of them is lying. Meaning, Avner would not have killed Asael and then claimed he was acting in self-defense. Avner was above that. Avner was a great man who was a big tzaddik. He was righteous. And if he really did do something wrong, he would have admitted it. And he would have accepted the punishment. Because Avner would rather be punished than to go to his grave with a sin. All the great ones would prefer pain in this world than pain in the next world. Really, if we knew what pain was like in the next world, we would also prefer pain in this world over pain in the next world. But we are so weak, and we don't really believe that it's going to be so painful in the next world, so that's why we're willing to say we don't want to have pain in this world. But the great ones, they all understand. Avner, if he really believed he did something wrong, would have gladly accepted punishment for having done it. But he sincerely believed he didn't do anything wrong. Yoav, had he really doubted Avner's guilt, he wouldn't have killed Avner. Because Yoav's not going to take a chance at murder to go to his grave with blood on his own hands. He's not going to take that chance. He's also a great tzaddik. He's not going to kill someone wantonly. He really believed that Avner was a murderer. So Avner believes he's not a murderer. Yoav believes he is. Well, which one was it? So the answer is going to have to be that there was a very subtle machlokas, a very subtle difference of opinion, where the same act could be interpreted one way or the other. We're dealing with something which has a hair's breadth difference as to whether it was self-defense or whether it was murder. A very, very fine-tuned, slight difference over here of whether it was or wasn't. They both agreed to the facts. Both Yoav and Avner agreed to what happened. What happened is that Asael was attacking Avner. Avner needed to defend himself and managed to hit him very specifically in the fifth rib. It was a very, very calculated thing. Yoav said, if you managed to do that, you could have hit him and not killed him. Avner says, it was too risky. Had I done that, he might have killed me. This difference of opinion is a difference of opinion of it's a difference of a very, very slight, nuanced way of looking at it. They both agreed that Avner's life was in danger. Asael was out to kill him. They both agreed to that. They both agreed Avner was attacked. They both agreed that Avner had the possibility of only wounding Asael. That was certainly possible. They also both agreed that when you're being attacked, it's very difficult to only wound and not kill. It's very hard to do that. The question was, given Avner's great prowess as a warrior, was he expected to be extra careful to wound and not kill when he was being attacked? Any lesser warrior than Avner, no one would have had any doubt that he should kill Asael. Because you can't think straight when you're being attacked. But Avner, on the level he was on of, first of all, piety, second of all, knowledge, he was a great Talmud Chacham, and third, the great warrior that he was, then the question is, should he have been expected on his level to only wound and not attempt to wound and not murder, where it was his own life at stake? Because if he attempts to wound and not murder, maybe he himself will be killed. But nevertheless, Avner on his level Yoav felt there was an expectation that he wounded, not murder, and Avner held that no, I don't. There is no expectation like that. I am entitled to save my life and murder and not attempt to wound and put my own life in danger. This was the subtle disagreement. And Yoav, therefore, Paskin, he ruled that Avner deserves to be killed by the Goel Hadam, by the brother, which he was, and Avner felt not like that. Later on, the Sanhedrin could not decide which one was right and which one was wrong. Again, this wasn't a question of facts. They all got the facts. Question was, what level should we hold Avner to?
It wasn't really... Avner said to Asael, don't run after me.
Yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
So doesn't that show that he didn't really mean to kill him? If he turned and said, don't do it, don't kill me, or whatever it is.
He definitely hit him in a place that could kill him. He didn't hit him.
But he's saying that he didn't want to.
Yeah, that's true, but he still hit him in a place that he was acting in self. He didn't want to kill him,
right.
But he acted in self-defense. When you act in self-defense,
yeah.
That part of self-defense might be to kill somebody.
Uh-huh.
The Torah says, if someone attacks you, kill him first.
Right.
Right? Okay. So right, the question only is, if you are able to wound, you're required to wound.
Yeah.
Most people can't think like that when they're being attacked.
Right.
Should Avner have thought that way? Yoav said yes. Yeah. Avner said no. So this was the difference of opinion. Now, I can take one or two questions, but we have so much to cover tonight, we're going to have to really move along. So go ahead, a quick question.
Says that Yoav and Avishai killed him?
How yes, I'm not sure why it says that. Well, we haven't gotten to how we killed him yet. We haven't gotten to how Yoav killed him yet.
Oh, I
know. You know, Avishai is the third brother.
Maybe he was like an accomplice.
Okay, so how did Yoav kill Avner, even though Yoav held that it was okay for him to kill him because he's the brother and he can kill him? But nevertheless, Avner is not an easy person to kill. David in his lamentation for Avner says, "You weren't tied up, you weren't chained. How did they kill you?" Right? Sounds impossible. So the Gemara says, now this is the one of the most astonishing stories you can have in the Navi. Remember, Yoav has ruled that he's allowed to kill Avner. Avner knows this. So Avner knows that Yoav, who is himself a very powerful warrior, is now going to try to kill him, Avner. So Avner knows that. They both know. They know the score. Avner knows Yoav holds that I deserve to be killed and he's going to try to kill me. Then Yoav turned to Avner and said to him, I have a halachic question to ask you. I have a question. How does a gidemes, how does a woman who doesn't have arms, how does she do chalitza? Chalitza is the process where a man dies without children, God forbid, so then his wife, the brother is required to do chalitz, to do yibum, to elaborate marriage, to marry the widow. That's the halacha in the Torah. If the brother doesn't want to do yibum, then there's a process of chalitza. And chalitza is that the brother says, I don't want to take her, lo chafatzi l'kachta, I don't want to take her. So then she, the widow, takes the shoe off of the brother. She takes the shoe off of the brother, and then she spits on the ground in front of him, and everybody around says, Beis Chalutana, this is a person who didn't want to build the house of his brother. It's considered to be a negative for the brother who didn't want to do this process of evil. That's the thing. So she has to take his shoe off of him. Well, that's done with hands. So Yoav asked Avner, what should she do if she doesn't have any hands? So Avner demonstrated. Avner got down, bent over, and showed that the way it's done is with her teeth, that she grabs on to the shoe and pulls it off. When Avner bent over in front of Yoav to show him how to do it, Yoav took out his sword and killed Avner, when Avner wouldn't have known it was coming. That is how Yoav managed to kill Avner. Otherwise, it would have been impossible. They would have had a battle that the two of them would have been equally matched, and they couldn't have possibly killed him. That was the only way he did it. Now, I don't know why it says that Yoav and Avishai. I don't know what Avishai did in the process over here. It could be that he was accomplice. It could be that he knew about it and let it go. Sometimes the Torah will blame someone who knows about it and stands by. At any rate, that's what he did. Now, my Rashiva of Weinberg's son of Racha, his yartzeit actually is in a few days on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, Rav Weinberg said, you see from this story just how much these people were involved in Torah. As much as Avner knew that Yoav wanted to kill him, when Yoav asked a halakhic question, it didn't dawn on Avner that Yoav would use that as a way of killing him. He asked him, "Oh, I'll tell you the halakha. Here's how it works. You ask me a Torah question. I'm going to answer you a Torah question." And he gets on and shows him. It didn't dawn on him. It didn't enter his mind. It wasn't in the realm of possibility that Yoav might be manipulating Avner to kill him. That act, therefore, paints Yoav in a very bad way. Because it's one thing for Yoav to rule that he's allowed to kill Avner, but then he used halacha he manipulated Avner to kill him. How do we justify that? I mean, there has to be, Yoav is not some scoundrel, he's a great tzaddik. So how could he have done such a thing? It is not coincidental that Avner killed Yoav's brother, and the question that Yoav asks Avner is, how does a widow deal with a situation where her husband is dying without children and the brother doesn't want to marry her? What does she do next? Yoav was bringing up a halachic question to Avner, which Yoav wanted Avner to hear the irony of the question and what Avner did. Avner killed his brother, leaving a widow. Now, I don't know if there were children. Doesn't say there were no children, but he left a widow, and he was using this as an analogy. A widow, as if she didn't have any hands. You killed her husband, who was a person who was her breadwinner, who took care of her, and now you left her as if she's helpless. How is she supposed to do chalitza? What do you do then? Now, the truth is that Now, so with this question, Yoav kills Avner. Later on, at the very end of Yoav's life, David, who's giving instructions to his son Shlomo about making sure that Yoav does not die a natural death, so that Yoav won't go to his grave with blood on his hands, he mentions this story. Now, as I mentioned to you before, the Sanhedrin does not rule over whether Yoav was wrong for killing Avner or not. But the way that he killed Avner, that David tells his son Shlomo was wrong. Whether he was right or wrong for killing Avner, but the way he did it was definitely wrong. And in that, David is going to tell Shlomo that Yoav needs to atone for that, and he should not die a natural death, for if he does, he will have to pay for it in the next world, and therefore you have to make sure he does not die a natural death. This is something which we will learn, Mirtza Hashem, when we get to Melachim, to the Book of Kings. And we're not going to have it all the way till then. Until there, we're going to see many more stories about Yoav, which you will see paint Yoav in a very, very positive and very, very righteous light. Yoav was a great person. But in this incident, we have a subtlety in between Yoav and Avner. Now, all of that so far is dealing with the myrrh or self-defense and the death of Asoel. And we've dealt with Yoav in his ruling and what he did to Avner. But now we have Avner himself. Why did Avner deserve to be killed? Whether we're going to understand Yoav's actions as being right, wrong, partially right, partially wrong, whatever we're going to say, nevertheless, Avner is killed. A man on that level, there is no question that if he was killed, it couldn't have happened unless Hashem wanted him to be killed. Philosophically, you can debate whether everybody who is killed, it's because it was a ruling that God had, a fact that this person should be killed, or whether a person's free will can be used to kill someone who didn't necessarily deserve to die at that time. We've talked about this peripherally at times, and it's way too big for us to get into now. But someone on the level of Avner, without question, could not have been killed unless he deserved to be killed. What did he do to deserve to be killed? So there are two things that are important to note. One is what I mentioned to you in Pasuk Chava, verse 26, where it says, they returned Avner mibor hasira, from bor hasira. Bor means pit, sira means thorn, or thorns. So the Gemara tells us, what did Avner do that he deserved to be killed? And the Gemara says, because we know that when Shaul was chasing David, in two different incidents, David tried to prove that he could have killed Shaul, but did not. In one case, he snipped off the garment, the edge of the garment of Shaul. In another case, he took Shaul's flask that he drinks from. And in both cases, he then, from a distance, called out, I could have killed Shaul. You see what I have in my hands. I could have killed him and I didn't. Don't you see that I'm not out to get him? In both cases, Avner allowed both those proofs to pass by Shaul without making an impression. In the case of the flask that was taken, the people said it's possible that Shaul dropped it at some point. That it was dropped on the road and David found it. So David was never actually there in front of Shaul. What actually happened is, as you recall, Hashem caused the entire camp of Shaul to be asleep and David came and took the flask. But they said maybe he found it on the road. And Avner did not try to convince Shaul that David was really innocent. In the other incident of the cloak, there Avner said to Shaul, it could be that you were walking and your cloak got caught on a thorn and it got ripped off and David found the edge of your cloak. But then it was not that David could have killed you, which in fact it was true. David could have killed him and didn't. So Avner either allowed David's story to not have the impact it should have had, or actually diffused it, actually took away some of its potency. Therefore, it says that he was called back from Bor Hasira. Bor is a pit, but a bor means a pit that holds water. That's what a bor means. A bor means a water pit, which is a reference to the flask of Shaul, something that holds water. And Sira means a thorn, a reference to the thorn in the claim that it was the thorn that cut off the garment, the corner of the garment, and not David. And Avner was taken to task because he allowed these things to happen. But there are two other things that Avner does for which he is also held accountable. One, we read last time. And that is that, I mentioned this to you last time, I said we would come back to it, that back in Pasuk Yud Beis 12, it says, Vayishlach Avner Malachim El David Tachtav Lamar, that Avner sent messengers to David under him, saying. So Tachtav is a funny word over there. The simple meaning is from his place, from where he was, he sent the messengers. But the Medrash says that Avner wrote in the message to David, he wrote David's name under his own. He wrote from Avner, the general of the Jewish people, to David the king, I have the following message. What he should have written is, to David the king from Avner, the general of the Jewish people. But he put his own name first. And because of that, he was punished. That's a second point that is made in the Medrash. And the third point is that the Gemara says, why was Avner punished? Because he delayed the kingdom of David by 2.5 years. That for 2.5 years, Ish-bosheth was a competing king with David, the son of Shaul, and that prevented David from becoming the sole king, the only king of the Jewish people for 2.5 years. And because of that, he was punished. Now, we mentioned that when Avner anointed Ish-bosheth as king, it was for a good reason. It's because he had a pasuk, he had a verse in the Torah that indicated that there should be another king from Binyamin, which would be Shaul's son. So he was seems to have been right for anointing Ish-bosheth. Tosfos asks this question and says, why should he be taken to task for it? He did the right thing. Tosfos says, he was right for anointing Ish-bosheth, but he shouldn't have done it then. He shouldn't have done it after Shaul's death. He should have first allowed David to consolidate his power and then have anointed Ish-bosheth as like a secondary player to David, rather than having anointed him as a serious competition with David, which is what it was. But because Avner did that, so he is punished. So this is the three things that are mentioned about what Avner did. Now, these three things are all pointing to the same problem that happened. And again, we have to keep the backdrop clear, that Avner was a great tzaddik and was acting, as far as he understood, properly. But there was a subtle problem over here. What would have been the best thing to happen? The best thing to have happened is that when Shaul was killed, Avner would have held off from anointing Ish-bosheth. David would have then emerged on the scene and been recognized as the king of Israel, and he would have begun to consolidate his kingdom. At a certain point, I don't know when that point would have been, there is a pasuk that says that there should be another king from Binyamin, which means there would be some competition, but it wouldn't have been in an even ground. It would have been that David becomes the obvious king of the Jewish people, Avner anoints Ish-bosheth as a secondary player. That's what should have happened. The Ramban writes that let's say Shaul would not have chased after David, and David would have become king. What would have been with Shaul? Had Shaul not rushed, tried to kill David, what would have happened to Shaul? The Ramban writes, Shaul would have ended up being king over the tribe of Binyamin only. That's all. While David was king, would have been king over 11 tribes, Shaul would have been king over just Binyamin. That's what would have happened. But because of Shaul trying to kill David, it ended up being that his family was killed. That's probably what would have happened with Ish-bosheth. That Avner would have anointed Ish-bosheth and he would have become the king just over Binyamin while David was the king over the other 11 tribes. But instead, what happened is that Avner anoints Ish-bosheth immediately, creating a serious competition. That serious competition leads to the unfortunate battle that takes place between Yoav and Avner. And in that battle, Asael chases after Avner, and Avner kills Asael. And as a result of that, Yoav kills Avner. And as a result of that, later on, Yoav, much later on, is also going to be killed. The fallout from having this serious competition, rather than having a clear hierarchy where David is the clear king and Ish-bosheth is a secondary king, creates a terrible chain of events in which we Jewish people lose the great Avner, and ultimately Yoav also ends up being culpable in some way. Why did Avner do it? Why did he anoint Ish-bosheth right away, creating that competition? And for that we need to move to the other two points that Chazal tell us. And that is that for all of Avner's greatness, and we pointed out that Avner was the kingmaker, and nevertheless, he did not take power for himself. He always saw himself as subservient to the king. And remember, it was only when Ish-bosheth accused Avner of wanting power for himself, that's when Avner said, okay, then obviously this we're done over here, and he moved over to David. That was because it was when he realized that Ish-bosheth was accusing him, Avner said, I'm not here for people to think I'm king. I'm not king. I'm here to promote the real king, in which case was Ish-bosheth. Nevertheless, when he switches over to David's side, he makes the mistake of putting his own name first. Now, why did he do that? Was he trying to rebel against David? Of course not. Why did he put his name first? That indicates that there is a subtle, although it's subtle but it's there, there is an element where Avner does see himself as a little bit more than he should see himself. We couldn't say this on our own. We're talking about a great person. But from Chazal, you see that he did see himself as being over David in a certain way. He was ready to make himself subservient to David, but he sees himself as being a little bit more than David in a certain element, in a certain way. And it is this motivation which causes him to therefore promote Ish-bosheth as a real competition to David. Because Avner is Ish-bosheth's general, and if David has serious competition with Ish-bosheth, if Ish-bosheth is slightly over David, then Avner is ultimately slightly over him as well. And as we move along in the reasons that Chazal tell us, he didn't want Shaul to give in to David. He wanted Shaul to remain the king. It's not that Avner himself wanted to be king, he didn't. But Avner wanted the house of Shaul to be recognized as the real king over the house of David, at least for the time being. And therefore, the combination of that and then the chain of events leading to him killing Asael is ultimately what does in Avner. All this having been said, nevertheless, David held it was wrong to kill Avner. Even though Avner may have done some things which on his level, again, we're talking about a great man, on his level, deserved punishment, even though that may have been true, but David held it was still wrong to kill him. Let Hashem take care of Avner. We should not get involved. Even though, yes, Yoav, you are the brother of the one who was killed, and you are the Goel Hadam, still, we shouldn't have done it. Why? Because David says, we're trying to create something new over here. We had so much trauma in the transition from Shaul to me as being king. And the whole time, I stood for the message that I am not going to kill Shaul. I am not going to make this happen myself. Hashem is going to make it happen. Here as well, killing Avner was the final breaking of the house of Shaul. The next chapter, which we're going to have to get to in many weeks, at that point, we're going to show that the house of Shaul is essentially finished, and they're going to repudiate the kingdom completely. It's going to be David's kingdom. Killing Avner was that final straw. David felt, we, meaning Avner, my house, should not have been involved at all. We should have been playing a completely passive role in the final transition from Shaul's house being the kings of Israel to my house being the kings of Israel. It should not have started in this way. I am rach, I am weak, I am young, I am new to this position. And these B'nai Tzuriah, they're stronger than me. What does he mean by that? He means they're tougher. They're acting tough. They're saying, we are going to show that David's house is the right house, is the kingdom. And David felt that was the wrong way to go. And as a result, he makes it a point to show that he had nothing to do with the killing of Avner. And the people see it. The people know it. I want to tell you one more subtlety. We have to pack in one more thing over here in how to read a particular verse. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, verse 34. Here, David alludes to the reason why Avner was killed. The simple reading is, as we said, your hands were not tied, your feet were not in chains. How could you have fallen in front of those who sin? How is it possible? You weren't bound, you weren't... So David here is bringing up the fact that he was obviously tricked into being killed, and it was wrong. But the double meaning here is like this. your hands were not tied, your feet were not chained. How come you didn't talk to your master Sheol to emphasize to him that I wasn't out to get him? You could have spoken up. You could have defended me all those years, all those times before, and we would have avoided all of this bloodshed. Had you spoken up and convinced your master Sheol that I wasn't out to get him, then none of this would have happened. Then we could have had a very peaceful transition in the kingdom from Sheol to me. Your hands were not tied, your feet were not in chains, and that is why you fell like those who sin. That's the other way to read this pasuk, the Gemara says. David here is saying that Avner, for all your greatness, but there was a mistake, and that mistake has led to some terrible things. And that is why you have been killed. Why? So that you don't go to your grave with sins. And this way your death has atoned for your sins, and now you like Sheol before you, can go straight to Olam Haba and not be encumbered by sin after death. Avner is remembered as a great tzaddik and does end up in Olam Haba. He is not like Sheol before him. He is not punished after he dies because his death atones for whatever it is that he did wrong. Again, everything he did wrong was so subtle. They weren't terrible sins, but they were subtle, and his death does atone for those sins. I recognize we packed in a lot tonight. I recognize if we have questions here, but that is the an approach to understanding all of this struggle between Avner and Yoav. For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.